the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's also Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Just a moment, we'll speak to our good friend, CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, waiting in the wings. We'll return to the Ministry of Truth later on. We'll find out about this grandma governed over by a ranger thing. Sarah Dillon will continue to taunt me about my imminent death exploding in a fiery ball of doom over Provo.
It's true.
And we ask the magical question, what is the single most irritating toy you can give to a small child? Before we do any of that, I'm looking at the screen. I believe that I'm looking at line two here, Scotty. Yeah, I believe the pronunciation there is Jaime. J-A-I-M-M-E. Yeah. I do not believe it's pronounced Jaime. He's written out phonetically on the screen. J-A-I-M-E and then H-Y-M-E. I do not believe Jaime is how you pronounce that. I just have to call it a hunch. Should I be taking Ed McCarthy or should I...
We should always be taking Ed McCarthy.
Okay, well, okay, it's going to be like 5 seconds then because okay. I got a... hello, Ruthie. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
Hello, Ruthie.
I didn't have anything specific to say, but I just started listening to you guys and past like week and a half on my way home from work, and you guys are hilarious.
Well, thank you. Now, how did you discover this very fine radio program?
Just flipping through the channels. I heard you were when you were on another station or some other something a while ago, but you have a really sexy and cool voice.
Well, it's it's on loan from somebody cooler than myself.
You made it
day. Okay. I was wondering what you look like, but, anyway.
But then I went to the website and it all fell apart. Nothing.
But I just wanted to say you guys are funny and I appreciate your little stories and I'm starting to get to know everyone just from listening.
It's because we're all one big family, Ruthie, and now you are an extended niece twice removed.
There you go.
All right. Are you okay? Well, spread the word. You call us anytime, okay?
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, sister. There you go, okay. Ruthie. She's my biggest fan. It's 5:00. What are you?
It smells in here, and I'm not saying Scott smells.
It didn't smell a minute ago.
I know.
What's changed?
I don't think it's him, but it does smell a bit like...
It smells like Scotty's back sweat.
No, it smells like urine.
I'm in what?
Rectum.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the South. CNN Radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. Hello, Ed.
I like urine. I'm in good shape.
I'm sorry?
But as long as I don't smell like urine, I'm in good shape.
Well, really, the Cathmeister is the only one. I can't tell from here. You could smell like compost for all I know, Ed.
Happy Friday, all.
Oh, how's life, my friend Howard thinks? Let me ask you this. What does an Ed McCarthy weekend consist of? Are you just kind of a lounge around the house? You can't be doing yard work, I guess, because it's like December. But, I mean, are you you fix things around the house? You watch the TV?
I don't fix anything. That's the problem. That's one of my big pitfalls is I'm not a handy guy, so it doesn't work that way. I got some of the yard stuff done last weekend, and now all the leaves have blown back again because we're getting these 40-mile-an-hour winds with this storm system that came through.
Now, do you rake the leaves or do you use a leaf blower?
No, you know what I do? I go out in the dark and blow them out in the road. No, I don't do that. I mulch them up with the lawnmower.
That's a good idea. Here's the thing about leaves that kind of interests me. I was talking to my wife. There are things that I find interesting, and I know this will shock you. There are things I find interesting that other people find tedious and completely pointless. And that I will dwell on these things for years sometimes, and no one else cares. Let me tell you a thing that I was obsessed with, Ed McCarthy, just by way of introduction. Let me tell you a thing I was obsessed with for the longest time. Here's what I was obsessed with. You know when you drive in your car, and you're looking, you know, it's at night, and there's somebody comes up behind you and they got their high beams on.
Oh, I hate that.
Okay, and what do? You reach up and you flip that switch on your rearview mirror. That turns it, and then it turns it dim, right?
Right, right.
I, for the longest time, was obsessed with how that thing works. I had no idea how the rearview mirror switched from regular to dim just by moving that little lever. I had no idea, and it drove me. And I had people telling me that I was crazy, that I was retarded, it didn't make any, that I was stupid, to wonder about it. And then I finally, on Google, found an in-depth explanation about it. Is a very long, in-depth, very involved beveling process on a rearview mirror to give it that dimming effect. It's actually a thing that they took decades to perfect. So That's a thing that I worry about or that I think about that nobody else does.
Well, the guy in back of you, you know, even though when you do that, he doesn't get the hint.
No, and see, and then, don't you, let me ask you this. Someday, I'm just saying, not that I would advocate this, but what I long to do is just to have a car where I secretly install another set of headlights on the back of my car.
There you go.
Flanking, the license plate. And then, you know, guy's high-beaming you, he's tailgating, you brake 3 or 4 times, you give him the finger, whatever, he doesn't take the message, bam, on come the high beams, looking right in his face.
I would like to have one of those James Bond cars where you push the button and some kind of fog and smoke comes out of the back.
An oil slick, yes, broken glass perhaps, just dumps out of a tray underneath your car. So someday, when I have inoperable cancer, and I'm making a list of people that I have to punish, guys who hide beam me, they're going to be right near the top of the list. They're going to get theirs.
I also don't like those new headlights they have out that they just blind you anyway, even when they're not high beams.
Krypton. And what is the deal with everybody having headlights now that are some shade of lavender? Does this happen where you live, where a lot of headlights are purple looking for some reason?
Yes.
Why do kids need purple headlights these days, Ed McCarthy? You know, when I was a boy, our headlights would sometimes turn all yellowy, and they were good enough for us.
The signal to get out of the way.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Well, anyway, moving on. No, here's the thing I think about with leaves. With leaves, I think about this sometimes. I look out in my front yard, where, of course, I don't rake anything. I do no work on my front lawn. I'm just letting it go to seed, Serengeti style. But I look out, and there are pounds and pounds and pounds of leaves spread out throughout the lawn. Yet, when I come back in, let's say, June, all those leaves are going to be gone. Now, I don't rake them, I don't blow them, I don't bag them, I don't mulch them. But
let somebody else do it down the street.
Is that somebody comes along and cleans them when I'm not looking, or does Mother Nature just get rid of them? Do they just turn into a powder, some sort of a Folgers crystals type thing between now and June? It's all very mystifying.
Yeah, if the wind goes the right way, you're in business. That's the way I look at it. And today the wind's going the right way. I'm loving this.
This is the key to great radio, Ed McCarthy. By the way, is a lot of conversations about leaves and decomposing of same. That's really how you capture an audience here in Portland. Hey, so I'm flying to Provo, Utah, because God hates me. And so tonight I have to be on a plane flying to Provo, and then I'm flying back Sunday. But I'm looking at this story here from CNN where it says, winter weather, and I'm quoting now from CNN.com, winter weather stretching across the middle of the country has grounded flights and made travel treacherous. More than 400 flights have been canceled at O'Hare International alone.
I know.
Now, let me ask you this, just bottom line this here. Is there any chance that this will be affecting Utah and that I can then get out of going to see my in-laws?
Well, you know, I think it might be okay, unfortunately, on this one, because if you're traveling from Portland, you should be able to get in there, okay?
I just won't be able to leave.
Unless they have a connector that's, you know, they're waiting on. Sometimes you got a plane that's on the way and whatever. But, I mean, you know, you can always use that as an excuse.
That's what I'm saying. I would just, because what is it, the wings get iced up or something? Is it that the planes get ice on the wings, or is it that they can't land? What is the problem?
Yeah, they get ice on the wings. They have to de-ice. They go through that de-icing problem and process, I should say. It's not a problem. It's a process they need to do. And then, you know, they'll take the gamble.
What happens if your wings ice up while you're in the air?
You are in trouble. It's kind of like getting that notice from the guy I got on the airline coming out of Detroit. He says, we have an anomaly.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear that. That's like when the guy who's, you know, he's looking at your x-ray or something, and you hear him go, uh-oh. You know, and that's just, you know, you just start making a list, making a list of people who've wronged you.
You know what I do? Whenever I get on a plane, for some reason, I always go to sleep. And that's always the best way, because I figure if I'm asleep, I don't know what's going on.
See, and it was Sarah just flew last week. Sarah had to fly to Wisconsin, and it's like she had to get all doped up on Xanax or something before she could fly, because she's a bad flyer. Ed says,
yeah.
mocking your pain.
Xanax.
And I'm not a terrible flyer, but I don't know why it is. Every time I have to take a trip, there's a story like this that comes out right beforehand. You know, planes icing up everywhere. Doom and destruction await Rick Emerson. So... All right.
I won't tell you about the FedEx plane that slid off the runway in Chicago today.
Oh, I see. What I want is I want the weather to be bad enough to keep me out of Utah, but not bad enough that I'm trapped once I finally get there. That's what I want. Sort of a happy meeting.
You should be getting a lot of snow right about now in Utah, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be the best time ever. Let me just ask you this. If somebody, just my little advice, if you ever have a trip scheduled to Utah, you got to go there to cover something, try real hard just to ram your car into a brick wall at a high velocity right before that trip. Just anything to avoid getting out of it. That's my advice to you, Ed McCarthy.
We stopped there once in Salt Lake, actually. It was Salt Lake. We were on the way to Yellowstone, Park, believe it or not. West Yellowstone. We had to get on a little puddle jumper and fly from Salt Lake to West Yellowstone.
Yeah.
That's an interesting little airport. You get out and they drop all the bags in front of the airport. It's about as big as your garage.
Seriously. And you realize that the guy who's landing this has to land on an area basically the size of a Frisbee or you're all going to perish.
Oh.
It's fantastic.
Amazing.
All right, my friend, enjoy your southern weekend. If God doesn't smite me in some sort of midair collision, I will be speaking with you in the immediate future.
Yeah, have a good trip, okay?
Thank you, sir. Ed McCarthy. Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen, from CNN. Ladies and gentlemen, before we do anything else, let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. No, that's not it. Let me wait with the whole, and the whatnot, and the... I never have anything here. What is it? Wait.
Oh, first the leave talk, and then you can't... Come on, Rick, pull it together.
Okay.
Leaf talk.
Leaf, let's see. Let me just welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from... from FilmFeverRadio.com. Our good friend joining us now, also partnered with GeekInTheCity.com. Scott, what the hell is this? Oh, this is that goddamn song, the No Sugar Tonight song that Scotty had stuck in his head that day. Scott Daly, hello, sir. Howdy. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
All right, you're in early today.
Yeah, well, I've got to be home by 3. My wife needs to take my son to a birthday party in Review. So I'm going to go home and take care of my daughter while my wife goes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I keep forgetting. You got multiple kids.
I have two.
Yeah.
But no more.
So really, there's no escaping ever.
No, not for a good 10, all right, 15 years.
Well, I'm glad you're here. So now, do you have things to review today?
I actually want to talk about For Your Consideration.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, and then you're here for the rest of the hour?
Yeah.
Okay, because here's what we're going to do. We'll take a couple of calls on this as well. I got an email from a guy, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this right now.
Okay.
And then we'll give people a chance to call in, and they can, while you're reviewing the film, I can sort of be screening. I'm stalling here while I find the email.
While you're stalling, let me tell you this about the leaves. I do the same thing. I'm the worst person in the world to take care of my yard. But you're right. Leaves fall on my grass by spring.
They're gone. Magically, they're gone. No one knows where they go. Okay.
I do one maybe. Anyway, yeah.
Here's what I've got. I've got this from, I won't give his last name. I'll just say Jesse. This is from Jesse. This email says, suggestions are needed from Jesse. Rick, if you're ever wanting a topic, I could really use... This is our high-concept topic we've been teasing for some time now.
Oh, this is it?
If you are ever wanting a topic, he says, I could really use the most irritating gift one could ever get, a small child. My brother must pay for the Light Bright and 500 stickers he gave my son to play with for his last birthday. My house has never been clean again. So that's from Jesse. So Jesse has a kid, apparently, and the brother gave the kid a hideously, like a sticker. I mean, see, the stickers, you know that they're going to go everywhere. The Light Bright, they never stay together. The Light Bright, those things just end up scattered. All of the little bright light bright bulbs, they end up scattered over the entire house. So he is now looking for an irritating toy to give his brother's child. So we are looking for the, if you wanted to punish a parent, if you really wanted to make a parent's life a living hell, I mean, beyond the obvious, what is the single most irritating toy you can give their child? It's 503-733-2970. In the meantime, you got to... So what is it? For Your Consideration.
For Your Consideration.
Which is the new Christopher Guest film.
Yeah, it actually came out about a week ago. It's the newest Christopher Guest film, and I've got to say, it really, really disappointed me.
I've heard nothing but bad about it.
It has some very, very, very funny moments. But overall, it just lets you down. The basic premise is Christopher Guest plays a character who's directing a film called Home for Purim, or Purim, excuse me. It's a Jewish holiday. And the film within the film stars Catherine O'Hara, Harry Shearer, and Parker Posey. And as the film is kind of a low-budget independent film, and as the film kind of gets further into production, there's internet buzz about an Oscar nomination for Catherine O'Hara and the rest of the cast. So the film kind of studies how they change as an actor because of the possible Hollywood the buzz of the Oscars.
So it's just sort of like a Waiting for Guffman, but I don't know, but like an indie film instead of a play.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of the same basic premise, but the last half hour of the film, it turns just plain, ugly, and mean-spirited, and it's not very funny.
I like mean-spirited.
Well, I do, too. I'm all about mean-spirited. But this, and I really thought about this, and the reason why it becomes this is because it's got the same cast of characters. Parker Posey, Fred Willard, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara,
O'Hara.
Michael McKean, Harry Shearer.
His usual, the usual suspects.
Yeah, and now it's got Michael Gervais from The Office.
Ricky Gervais.
From The Office, who's added to the cast, which is great. But with Guest's previous films, Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, Mighty Wind, you know, they're all kind of lighthearted. They're funny. They have a few little moments, but they're really fun, and they're enjoyable to watch. And it's sad to see these characters, for your consideration, kind of go down and just crash hard. And that's, I think, the most depressing part of the film, is you go to a Christopher Guest film expecting another Guffman or Best in Show, and you get this really downer, depressing story, and you walk away from the theater thinking, what did I just sit through? Why did I waste my time?
It's interesting.
It's really sad. Too.
My big problem with A Mighty Wind was that I felt A Mighty Wind was the opposite. I felt A Mighty Wind was just too sweet and cloying and didn't have...
Yeah, I would agree.
There was none of his kind of barbed humor in there, whereas like Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show, and obviously Spinal Tap being the best example, there's sort of a mixture of this.
Right.
But this is too much.
It's just not fun. There are some really, really funny moments. Some characters are really funny in it, but overall, it's just downright sad. And this is the first Christopher Guest. Well, his very first film called The Big Picture in '88 with Kevin Bacon. But this is his first recent film where he doesn't do the documentary style.
Oh, really?
So it's more of a narrative story.
Interesting.
And so that I don't know if that has a lot to do with it or not, because you're going expecting that. But the really downer part is you see these actors who you've grown to love as a group, as a troupe, if you will, just not really pull it off. And that's the real sad part about
Your
consideration.
I mean, I'll see it eventually. It's in HBO or whatever. Yes. Especially just because I'm a big fan of that guy, and I love that cast. Again, Michael McKean and Catherine Harrigan, who I love.
They're all great, and they're fun to watch, but you put it all together, and it's just not very pretty.
All right. Well, we're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. How old are your kids?
My daughter
five
is
and
one
three.
And a half, and my son is four.
I don't even know. I'm just guessing.
Five and
three. You know what I was doing right there? I was doing the...
Five and three. They just had a kid.
I was... You know what I was doing right there? I was doing Uncle Buck, where it's like... instead of Miles and Maisie, it's like Phyllis and
Bucky.
Their names are Miles and Maisie. And I'm totally just like... You know, do your parents know you drink coffee? Just totally budged out of, just totally punting right there.
Rick Emerson, the fact that you reference Uncle Buck just validates my love for
him. I am the Uncle Buck to your,
love Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
God, I'm a kid.
Uncle Buck is, I mean, I don't want to have kids, as you know, but I mean, really, if any movie was ever going to convince you to do it, it'd be Uncle Buck in a weird way. But that's why I can't be a parent, because I'd want to be that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I would get in your mouse and get out of here. I would totally want to be punching people. The movie.
Yeah, did you drink tonight?
The moment. The moment in Uncle Buck that makes you want to be a parent, though, is that when he goes in and just puts the beat down on the teacher.
Have
a rat and all that thing off your face,
because
I totally want to do that. I would totally do. I want to do that to people like whose kids aren't even mine. So I. Anyway.
Here's the best part. His name is Bug. What's his last name? Spray.
All right.
We can do this all hour.
Okay. So the question is, what is the single most annoying toy you can give a small child? Scott Daly?
I can't say exactly what this toy is, the brand name or what it is, but my son, a couple years ago, my wife's uncle gave him this 4x4 plastic car, truck, race car thing. It's got big old back wheels, and you press a button, and it starts going... And it starts shaking and really vibrating.
Right.
And a really loud screeching sound of tires peeling. And then it moves for like a foot and a half and it stops.
And then they do it again.
It shakes again for like 5 minutes and it shuts down.
So it doesn't really do anything. It just makes noise.
He loved it. But the first second we got... Okay, Cooper, you're going to go spend the night in Grandpa's house this weekend. Toy's gone.
Oh, really?
Oh, that thing was the worst.
You threw away your son's toy.
We didn't throw it away. We gave it away to a needy child.
It went to a home in the country where all of his dogs went. No, your dog is living on a farm now with other dogs.
He's happy and playing in the fields.
He's at the Rainbow Bridge.
And I would have to say anything Elmo-related.
This guy here.
I know that's
this guy says Chicken
answer.
Dance Elmo.
Yeah, that's the stock answer. I understand that. But, you know, the cool thing is my son likes cool toys.
I've never even seen an Elmo doll. I have no idea what they even
do. They're terrible. They're terrible. But the cool thing is my son likes Star Wars toys, so, you know, I'm all over that.
So you're like Jason. You're just raising a miniature you. Let's see here. The single most irritating toy to get a small child, Zach. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, the single most annoying toy I've ever seen given was a Wiggles guitar. It's like a plastic kid's toy that it has little buttons that make noise, but it also has samples of the little kid's song.
Oh.
And the child decided to push the same button over and over, which was... The song chorus was around and around and around, and I heard it about 500 times in 2 hours.
My brother-in-law got Cooper an Elmo guitar, very similar to the Wiggles guitar, and it's just the same thing over and over, and when they're 2 years old, they just love the repetition.
Kids love... kids really love... Of repeated, repetitious... that was a joke within a joke. No, kids love repeated, simple sounds. Look, I was, I was at the... God, where was I last night? Was it at a... was it some store? It was at Powell's, of all places. At a bookstore, where people ought to know better. I'm at the bookstore... And there's the parent who, by this time, doesn't even hear the kid's sound anymore. Like the parent doesn't even hear the noise anymore. They've had it for so long, but the kid is like two and has latched on to one sound. It's like some weird retarded Buddhist mantra, where the kid has found like a series of vowel sounds that it finds interesting, and then is just doing it over and over and over again. And it's like the kid is, it's like a ooh wah nah or something. The kid's like ooh wah nah, ooh nah, ooh nah, ooh nah. And I'm sitting there like, that's what I'm saying. But imagine that, like, it's a foot away from you, and it's a small child, and the parent is just sitting there calmly leafing through, like, the new Ann Rule book. You know, just looking through the new, let's see, do you have Shopaholic Has an Irritating Kid? I'd love to read that book. You know, and the kid,
gotta stop.
And I walked away to the other end of the store, and I can hear it, you know, down the hall, what does that sound even mean? The kid has just latched onto the one noise over and over again. Kids love repetition. So this Wiggles guitar, they'll find the one button and just and just press it over and over.
Yeah. I kept leaning over and turning it off when she wasn't looking, and she thought it was a game.
See, exactly.
She thought it was a game.
That's what we do, man. We got to do this.
It's a game called Reassemble the Toy.
It gets pulled.
All right, Zach, thank you, sir.
All right, F. Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Let's bring it back.
F. Matt Hukari insurance style. Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, yeah, Rick. I think the worst toy that my child ever received was a stocking stuffer. It was an electronic G.I. Joe battle sound box.
Ugh.
So Christmas morning, he's got all of his new G.I. Joe spread out.
Sweet.
Underfoot, you know, creating a great obstacle course for me.
But he's got a battlefield.
Oh, God, yeah. He was switching, you know, pushing the button on this thing, and I'm getting the machine guns, the bombs exploding, people screaming. Trying to take a nap. It sounds like I'm trying to take a nap in downtown Beirut.
Yeah, and you're always hungover when they decide to play with these toys, too. Your daddy had a little too much holiday cheer. Keep it. Oh, my ma! You know? You're sitting there going, oh, will you please stop it?
Oh, yeah, here's the upshot of it, though. It's just before I was about ready to... pull it out, pull his guts out. I looked at it.
Parents love.
Wow. And then I used it. Then I used it as background noise for a new phone message on my machine.
Fantastic. Hello, I'm in Bosnia right now. I can't come to the phone.
So really, you wanted to play with it. That's why you bought it for him.
It's true.
No, I didn't buy it. That was my wife's idea.
Oh, no, it's never you. It's always somebody who hates you who buys you that toy.
Yes, of course.
Thank you, sir. All right, that's Jim. Let's see here. I'll do one more and then we'll break. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, you know, Legos make great obstacle courses on the floor, too.
Oh,
nothing hurts worse than Legos.
Oh, my God,
man. Oh, man, and I know that, too. I had to babysit my nieces and nephews enough when I was a kid. I'd get up in the middle of the night to go use the facilities or whatever. It's like, and you're walking through the bedroom and the kitchen.
It's always the one that's like the same color as the carpet. And it's like, ah!
And it's the pokey triangular one, uh-huh. Poking up, and you're like, kunk, ah! You know?
It embeds itself in your foot.
Yeah. Legos are the worst.
But the most irritating one's a drum set, dude.
Or what?
Bam,
a drum kit.
Bam, you know.
Yeah.
At this point, who would even buy a drum kit for somebody unless they actively hated the parent? Why do they even sell those anymore? Those are sold
you
simply.
You can get them cheap at, like, even Toys R Us and Target have them.
And especially if it's not a real set, it's just the one big
it's
drum.
One of those cheap little things that has, like, a drum, a snare drum, and a cymbal.
So, yeah, and it's... and it's, you know, and then if you're like my brother got one of those when he was a kid, and he decided to augment it with like all of my mom's like cooking lids or whatever in the kitchen.
Pots and pans.
Yeah.
Neil Peart style.
Yeah, he's already going to the kitchen. He's got his own Peter Criss set surrounding him with all my mom's cookware. You know, and it's like, and there's no, I don't know what it is about your body clock, man, that when you become an adult, you know, you want to stay up late, you want to hang out, you want to do whatever. When you're a kid, you want to be up at 5 a.m. every morning so you can be setting up this drum kit and pounding on it. Good God.
Yeah.
All right, Ethan,
yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. No, thank you. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Then we will resume our speaks with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. The question is, what is the single most irritating toy you can buy for a small child? We have a listener wanting to punish his brother. 503-733-2970. Stay there. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, this email says, not to scare you, but to warn you. I went through the Salt Lake City airport screening 2 weeks ago and was directed over to a machine. I put my feet on the footmarks. The doors behind me closed. I got a little weirded out because it's a closed space, but I figure, hey, it's just a new metal detector. All of a sudden, air pops out at me from everywhere, like those stupid eye tests. I scream and put my arms up to punch this air. The doors are still closed. The airport screeners are laughing at me. Just a warning that such a chemical screening machine exists in stupid Salt Lake. And that's exactly where I have to land, too. Fantastic.
Lucky
ladies and
you.
Gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
That killer whale is back before me before it crowds at SeaWorld, the one that tried to kill the trainer at the bottom of the pool. The whale's name is Kasatska. It is 5,000 pounds. Some experts say the 30-year-old orca simply had a bad day. She may have been in a spat with another whale, grumpy because of the weather, or may have been irritable due to a tummy ache.
Maybe she doesn't like having to whistle for tidbits.
Some mornings you just wake up and don't really feel like doing a show. When the trainer doesn't feel...
Well, these things can happen.
I'm sure we all get that way.
The next time I don't feel like doing a show. Seriously, I mean, next time one of you, Sarah should just bite my ankle and try to drag me down to the floor the next time she doesn't feel like being here. Hello, Sarah. Sarah's a ring wraith.
Are you saying that Sarah's a whale?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
I do.
Throw brother under the bus. Thank you.
Now back to that new security system that'll reportedly allow screeners to see your naked body.
Oh.
Being tested at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix, airport spokeswoman Deborah Ostrier says the new system automatically blurs out private areas and the images are deleted soon after the person clears the security checkpoint, so the pictures aren't suitable for framing.
In the older technology, that was not the case, but now at this point, this newer technology makes it so that there are not privacy issues.
How are they able to blur out the private areas? Not everybody's private area is positioned exactly the same, I would imagine, especially if some men dress left, some men dress center. Secondly, not all women have the same bosom size, so how do you know where a woman's upper private area begins and ends? Saying that it automatically it can blur out a woman's, let's say, bosom area, is either a lie or is disconcerting because it means that the machine is trained to recognize a boob. And I don't like the idea of going through a photo machine that is trained to recognize boobs and butts. I just find the whole thing a little off-putting. Secondly, no. Thirdly...
And it's not going to screen that up because that's where people will probably be hiding.
That's what I'm saying. So this is, again, another example where either they're lying...
They're lying.
And it doesn't really blur out boobs, butts, and the, you know, your Johnson. Or B, it does, which is another example of the government trying to institute safety techniques and then telling the terrorists exactly how to circumvent them. Thanks so much for that.
Yes, privacy issues of having your naked body seen by screeners has been taken care of.
The image will be really like a cartoon image, but the information they're looking for on there is if there
Bucky
are
the Beaver.
Any metal or if there's any dangerous items on the person who's going through the x-ray.
They're just going to look through and see, like, a character from High and Lois.
People can choose whether or not they are being x-rayed.
This is just an option. This is not something that people will be required to go through. If they would prefer to continue with the pat-down that the TSA has previously offered, then they will have that option.
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to make the pat-down so unbelievably obtrusive and invasive and irritating that everybody's going to opt to have their penis photographed by TSA.
And yes, just in time for the holidays, this will be up and running by Christmas.
This will just be one test machine at one security checkpoint in Terminal 4.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I feel ever so much better. The Salt Lake City area is the least happy for women. This according to a new study. This comes to us from Self Magazine. Despite being in good health, the area doesn't rank well in good spirits. The Salt Lake Ogden area ranks number 4 in the least happy places for women. High numbers of suicides and depression contribute to this high rating.
Love you, honey. Thanks. I can't wait to go there. Thanks for making me travel back.
Authorities have found a man frozen to death this week in his car in southern Utah mountains. 21-year-old Christopher Appleby and 3 of his friends went rabbit hunting in the mountains. When he got lost from the rest of the group, he was frozen solid in his vehicle.
I'm looking forward to this trip evermore. God bless you, Tim Riley.
Rosalie Bradford, who held the Guinness Book of World Records for being the world's heaviest woman and then losing the most weight, has died at 63. She at one time weighed 1,050 pounds in January 1987.
Jesus.
She lost 736 pounds and weighed 314 pounds in September 1992. She went down around 400 pounds just before dying. The cause of death won't be known for a while.
I can't imagine.
She was 8 feet wide.
It took
90 minutes to breathe. To bathe. I'm sorry.
I thought you said breed.
Breathe.
There'll be no breathing here. She credited Richard Simmons for helping her lose weight. She blamed her lifelong battle with obesity on abandonment, which fed a food addiction.
It doesn't sound like she abandoned much food in her life.
Her website claims her peak weight was more than 1,200 pounds.
She's 8 feet wide. Oh, God. Imagine how deep those folds are. I wonder if she would take your fold up to the... If she would. I wonder if one of her folds... I bet this is a woman that could take your arm up to the elbow. In a fold. A stomach fold is what I'm talking about. I bet she could take your whole arm.
Okay.
Up to the shoulder, probably, if you went in sideways. Imagine what that arm would smell like when you took it off.
Oh, my God! Stop!
I'm sorry, I'm just...
That's wrong!
It's all so easy. I'm just trying to keep the mood light.
Well, that's it for now. We'll be back in a little bit.
Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what her couch would smell like, Scotty. Why are you interested in what her couch smells like?
Mama grape. Times like 3.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. We typed couch.
that's so bad.
He asked what her couch would smell like.
Yes, I'm sure he did.
I'm imagining pretty bad. Well, what do you think her couch would smell like? Nothing good, clearly. Let's take more phone calls, shall we? Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Hey, long time, second time.
Thank you, sir.
Been there version one, day one.
God bless you.
Hey, I got the most annoying toy ever.
Okay.
Xylophone.
Oh, any musical instrument, really, for a child is the most irritating toy you could get. It really, it's like that Guitar Hero 2, that game.
Yeah.
Is that for the Xbox? What is that for?
I believe that's for PlayStation.
That the Guitar Hero, man. Do you ever go to a toy store, like around Christmas time, and there's that penned off plastic area at the front of the store where they've got all the electronic toys just like jumping around, and you look at the guy behind the counter, and he's just got that, kill me. The guy behind, a xylophone.
Yeah, I gave one to my niece about 13 years ago. I don't think she got a pound on it once. It was the trash.
Well, Scott Daly was saying you threw your kid's toy away. I gave it away.
Thank you.
You could just have hidden the batteries. You should just have hidden the batteries and kept the toy.
Well, I'll call you next time I decide to throw toys away.
Did you ever try to fake out your kids like this, though? Like, you'd have the xylophone or whatever, and you're like, so we're going to play a fun game called Invisible Xylophone. Now, I'm going to give you some invisible, stick things to play with. Now, don't actually hit the... Use these invisible sticks to hit the xylophone.
I imagine the sounds.
Yeah, totally. Work. All right. Scott, thank you. Are you spreading the word about the show, sir?
Hey, since day one, version one.
Thank you, my friend. You call us anytime. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Frank, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up?
Well, not to mention all the food that was in the cushions of the couch.
But
you know, what about those big, like, Hulk hand things? You know, kids put them over their hands and they'd smack them together and they'd make noise.
Yeah, they're big. They're big plastic.
No, they hold smash.
Oh, they're like boxing gloves, but they make noise?
Yeah.
They're right. Huge. They're like, one for the Thing and the Hulk. And
every time you punch somebody, it's like, roar!
That's
going to get old. And that is sort of like the kid version of those lightsabers we had at Aaron's wedding.
Yeah.
Where when you move them around, they go...
But those are cool. Those aren't annoying.
Those are cool because we're adults and we turn them off every now and again.
Yeah.
That's the thing about a kid. A kid is... Their brains, and I don't mean this is a bad thing, but I'm just saying their brains are just not developed to the point like a human brain is. And so they are just amused by, like, the simplest thing... over and over and over and over and over and over. They just kids don't know how to diversify. You know what a kid is like?
Well, I can agree with you there because my son is fascinated with helicopters right now.
He
will not stop talking about helicopters. So my mother-in-law took him to watch helicopters drop Christmas trees in the field, and he just over and over and over, helicopter, drop it. Trees, and that's, he just says it over and over and over.
It's exact, and I know that adults, Scott and myself, probably fall into this category, do the same thing, but that's why kids can watch. Did you ever notice this? That children have never heard, children don't know the concept of overwatching a movie.
Scotty,
I keep doing that. What is the film of choice that you put in at your house to occupy your child? What is it this week? It's like a Disney film, probably.
This week, it's anything Pokemon.
Yeah, or like The Incredibles, where they'll just watch it like 100 times a day.
My daughter had the Lion King videotape.
Yeah.
She watched it so much she wore it out. My wife had to buy another one.
Yeah, kids, and they will just... I don't understand what that's all about. I mean, there's movies I've seen a lot, obviously, but there's something... It really is interesting to me, the idea of why a kid is fascinated...
Because she would talk that movie verbatim. She could speak the whole movie.
It's so weird, actually, that kids have such a short attention span. Like, you try to get your kid to be interested in something, and, like, they don't care about it. Yet they'll watch The Lion King 100 times.
Actually, this week, my son is really into Spirited Away.
Japanimation thing or whatever?
Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle are the two he's really into.
Well, you might as well just get your kid a pointy wizard hat right now. Seriously.
Yeah.
You're totally going to be a geek. No, I'm saying it's great.
No, it's
awesome. Totally a dungeon master in training.
Oh, boy.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Frank.
No problem.
There you go. That's Frank.
I had to watch a bunch of SpongeBob SquarePants on Wednesday because I go over to Lisa's house to watch America's Next Top Model.
Oh, and she's got the kid.
Yes. And so Lincoln's banging on everything, making so much noise. Like, he had this train thing. That's an annoying toy. It's this train that every part was pushable, and it made all kinds of bells and whistles. And he wouldn't leave the room. So we're sitting there trying to watch the show, and he's screaming, like, playing the, stomping around the house and then, like, hitting this train. I'm like, oh, my God.
And those are the moments when you know you shouldn't be a parent because you start becoming that woman. I can feel myself, my penis going away as I say this. But you find yourself becoming that one woman from Bridget Jones' Diary, the book, where it's like, stop it! Stop it! Mommy will smack! You know, totally just...
Okay.
You find yourself just totally wanting to kick the kid across the room.
As a parent, I have to ask this question. Why didn't... And I'm sure your friend is lovely and great and everything, but why didn't she step in and send him to the kid to his room?
I'm not going to have any part of this conversation.
No,
I'm not saying you, Sarah. I'm just saying, as a parent...
I have an answer. No, this is what happened. Jay, who's the dad, was supposed to watch him, but he takes, 45-minute showers. So they had a project. They were going to build...
Wonder why that is.
They were going to build...
I got to get away from the child!
No. So they bought a gingerbread house that they were going to build together. And he's like, okay, after the shower. So he didn't get done with his shower until 8:45. So which means Lincoln, is running around being a two-year-old.
I'm sorry.
It takes him three hours to go for gas in the car. He's in the garage a lot.
I'm not the master
parent. Dude, don't have
the
kids... No, I don't want to hear it.
Kids have bedtimes?
But it was early.
What, 8:45?
Yeah.
My son is 4, goes to bed at 8.
Okay. My daughter's
a senior. I don't want to hear your comments.
No, no, this goes back to what Rick
Sarah's making the talk to the hand gesture.
I don't want to hear because I don't know how to raise a kid.
See why I said at the beginning, I'm not going to have any part of this conversation.
This goes back to Rick's point about the kid and towels. The parent needs to have some control. If the kid's blah, 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 blah,
what,
blah.
Tell the kid to stop. Preaching to the choir. What are you telling me?
That's what annoys me.
Dude, and you're making me uncomfortable because I know my friend's
listening.
Sir,
I'm sorry.
Lisa,
I apologize. I'm not.
No, it's just
Rick Emerson didn't say anything during this part of the conversation. I just started reading my email. Sorry.
No, he was just being a little kid.
I'll stop. And that's the thing, it is their essential nature.
I mean, I think about what I was like when I was a kid, and I was just like a little baby bastard. I mean, I was completely... You know,
I apologize, Sarah. I didn't mean to draw.
Yeah,
you
that's okay. I don't know anything about children.
I understand,
and I don't want to be stuck in that.
Oh, you feel bad now?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to weigh in on, Scott Daly?
A couple things, I'm sure.
All right. Maybe some hecklers in the front row you'd like to deal with, or all right. Let's see here. Ashley says I have a super annoying toy. Ashley, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, do not be dissing SpongeBob.
Do not what?
I love SpongeBob.
Don't diss SpongeBob.
Oh.
If you were given a choice between Barney and SpongeBob,
thank you.
You would be praying for SpongeBob.
No, Lisa has a. They have a Wiggles-free household.
Oh, that's
yeah.
That's great.
No, and it was
SpongeBob
fine.
Is cool.
I wanted to, but I was there for America's Next Top Model. That's what I wanted to watch.
It really is. No. Here's the thing: it really is just an issue of of just mindset. Because there's times when you want to switch your brain into like adult setting. And then there's times when you're like, it's like if I go into somebody's house, I know they have kids, I know they're whatever, I totally prepare myself for it. I'm like, yeah. it's going to be a kid, I'm going to be in kid mode. Sometimes you're not in kid mode. Sometimes you are.
Yeah, because we had a couple bottles of wine, we're sitting there ready to, and then SpongeBob's going.
Totally.
And yeah. That's the great thing. At our house, at 8:15, kids are in bed. It's cocktail hour for Maxine and Scott.
When I had to babysit my sister's kids, and they had latched onto this Disney movie, Mr. Boogity, with John Astin, I had to watch Mr. Boogity like 100,000 times.
Mr. Boogity?
Have you ever
John
seen Mr. Boogity? It's a ghost. I think it is John Astin. It's a ghost story. It's a ghost story about a haunted house and blah, 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 blah. But it's this Disney that, man, it's like, do you kids want to watch Letterman tonight? Or just whatever. I was trying to get them to watch. Who wants to watch McNeil Lehrer? We want to watch Mr. Boogity. And like the second time I went over there, I'm like, I got my game face on. I totally just sucked it up. I walked in, I'm like, who wants to watch Mr. Boogity and, scream and run around the house all night? We do. Great. And I totally just, I threw myself into it.
And you
I
became
was
Uncle
zen
Rick
with it.
At that point.
Yeah.
Everyone loved you.
It's true. Ashley, so what is the most irritating toy, Ashley?
Oh, okay. So I have this thing my grandma gave me. It was a little fuzzy reindeer. And it would walk around the floor with a little bell on its neck. And it would light up its little red nose. And then it would also beep out Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh.
And one year, it disappeared.
Who knows?
Kind of like my son's car, right? Just
one day it just wasn't there. And
like that.
That's
yeah,
like,
I think my dad stepped on it and then said, well, I think we're done with this toy now.
Fantastic. It's like having one of those Christmas greeting cards ringing in your ear all the time. Those ones that do the polyphonic jingle bells ring and whatnot.
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Ashley, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. That's Ashley. You have to take off?
I'm good for another.
All right, let's do a couple more, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back to Tim Riley at the top of the hour. We got Mark and Todd on the way. Charlie, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
What's up, brother?
This really is more of not an annoying gift, but more of like get back at my older sister.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, she lives, she's very wealthy, and they have a very huge, beautiful home. I sent all three of my nieces and nephews art projects that were these little acrylic figures that you have to paint with just like oil paint. And there was like 20 in each one of all of these little things. Man, those kids had that stuff everywhere. It was awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah, anything that's like you send like one of those art kits where it's like a bunch of paints and like some chalk and like coloring pencils and like an easel and like a palette and whatever. Yeah, that stuff is, or like that guy said earlier, the sticker set. Like here's 1,000 stickers that can never be removed. Have fun.
Oh. But they were oil based paints. That was the only thing that would stick to these little figures. It was incredibly awesome. Oh, she never let me live that down.
The only bummer part, did you send it to her?
Yes.
So you couldn't see her face when she opened it?
Oh, no, I can picture it because my sister's a complete clean freak, so I just thought I could just see it now. It was awesome.
That's the best part.
That's sweet.
Here you go, little niece. And oh, boy, the parents just look at you with contempt.
Oh, yeah, Uncle Charlie was the bestest uncle ever.
Totally. Well, that's like my grandparents. I know for a fact that when my parents would drop me off at my grandparents, I know that my grandma would get me all sugared up deliberately. I know that like, you know, when it was like my dad was supposed to come pick me up at 9, so about 8:15, my grandmother, who wants marshmallows? You know,
pixie sticks.
Yeah, totally. She would just crank me up on as much sugar as she could possibly get into me right before my dad picked me up. There's a whole lot of hate within families.
My parents do the same thing with my kids.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Load them up.
You have to. It's all revenge as you get old. It's all worth it.
Excellent. That's what kids are really good for, punishing others.
Take care, you guys.
Bye, Charlie. Thank you.
Bye now.
Right, there you go.
How much longer do I have to talk about kids?
Why?
Is
this causing trouble somewhere?
No.
All right.
It's just a strange thing to be talking about on a Friday afternoon.
It's a relatable
thing. By the way.
Listen to how relatable this is.
Perez Hilton is down.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Yeah. Lawsuit,
so
baby.
So it begins. So excited.
Exit Perez Hilton. Right. Enter Sarah Exton.
Well, let's do one more. We'll do one, because we do have other stuff we have to get to. Let's take one final call about this, and then we'll have Tim Riley join us. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
First, I want to say is I was one of those kids that would watch the Disney movies like a billion times, like in one day. I think my favorite was Aladdin. But anyways, I called to actually talk about the toys.
Yes.
Excuse me.
You all right?
Oh, you've called before. I remember you.
Yes, that was the one that the hyperventilating guy.
You're doing good.
Okay. I don't remember the hyperventilator.
He wasn't hyperventilating. He got his stuff out, and he's like, I'm out.
You don't have an inhaler, do you?
No, I'm just very, very...
just gets a little nervous.
Easily excitable.
Hey, breathe in real heavily again there with the phone up to your mouth. No, in.
Out.
I thought I heard like a lungs full of crap sound there.
Anyways, I was going to put another vote butt in for Furby because there's just so many evil things you can do with it, specifically to avoid people, particularly put them under beds and such because they will suspend motion and changes in light. But I have to put in a vote in instead for Tamagotchis because the child will take them with them, usually multiple.
Oh, that's a little virtual pet. Oh,
yes.
The Japanese toy.
The thing that freaked me out about the Furbies was how much they look like the Gremlins.
Oh, totally. They're Mogwai.
Really
they totally look like Mogwai,
Imagine looking under your bed and seeing that thing staring at you.
Yeah, the idea... here's the other thing you can do. Speaking of the Furby being sensitive to light, okay, here's the thing you can do. Give the child a pet. But here's the thing. Here's like the Trojan horse. It's not the pet that is distracting. You give the child, let's say... they're not chameleons, but they're like chameleons. They're called anoles, A-N-O-L-E.
Yeah,
they're like chameleons in that they change color and so forth. Here's the great thing about it, though. You know what those eat? They eat live crickets.
Yeah, they do.
So you buy a little aquarium for like $20. You buy the anole for like $9. And then they have to eat bagfuls of live crickets.
Bag of crickets cost a buck at the pet store.
Bag of crickets cost a dollar. And they chill long. Kids love it because it's like, hey, more noise. I'm a kid. What do I care? Woo! You know, it doesn't matter. The kids sleep right through it. And here's the other thing is the crickets always get loose. The crickets always get loose inside the house. I had both. I had an anole and then I had a tarantula, too, when I was a kid. And they both ate live crickets. And the tarantula didn't bother me at all, even though I'm not a fan of spiders. This is so big, it didn't freak me out. But the great thing about it is that I would have to open the bag, and you know, you don't want to stick in your hand into a tarantula cage, so I would dump the crickets in, but inevitably some of them would like, freedom! You know, and they would like run. I regret nothing! And then for the next 2 weeks until they just sort of died naturally, my mom would be trying to sleep at night, and somewhere in her bedroom... Or whatever noise a cricket makes. You ever try to find a cricket in a dark bedroom at 2 a.m.? Not happening. So there you go, my friend. Final. Thank you, Mark. You did very good.
Thanks. I hope we call him again.
Right. I'm sorry, what?
I hope we call him again.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Did you not understand what he said?
He said, I hope to call him again.
Okay.
What is his deal?
He gets nervous on the air.
He hides it well.
Well, you know, it's nerve-wracking talking to Rick Emerson.
Oh, he was the guy that we were like, we pulled the Likas thing. We're like, there's no one listening, just us and thousands of hypercritical listeners. I remember that.
Yeah.
All right, what's up at filmfeverradio.com?
We've got a new show. It'll be up in a few hours, probably at 6 p.m. tonight. And don't forget, our Star Trek II Wrath-A-Khan drunken commentary is still available, and it's our biggest downloaded episodes ever. So, good times. And Rick Emerson?
Yes.
I believe it's a week or two. We're doing our December film.
Oh, commentary. That's right. You're doing Die Hard.
That's right, with Twinkies and Coke drinks.
Excellent, fantastic. It is the best holiday film ever.
Yes, it totally completely is. But yeah, filmfeverradio.com. We've got this week's episode will be up by 6 p.m. tonight, and all kinds of fun. We talk about I talk about For Your Consideration again. We talk about DVD. This is a great DVD release week. We've got Superman Returns, kind of bare bones edition. So I'm holding off for the special Uber extended version. Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut.
Is it true that new Superman box set is 18 discs or something?
Yes. Yeah, there's a huge Superman box set. It's got Superman 1 through 4.
It's insane. I mean, it's like dozens of DVDs.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. Yeah, but 3 and 4 really aren't even...
Well, and that's the thing. It's like the Superman 3 set is like 5 discs. Who needs 5 discs of Superman 3?
The best thing about Superman 3 is it provided a plot point for Office Space. So.
Oh, that's true. That really is it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And also, Clerks 2 comes out this week as well. So we talk a lot about that. And I think it's one of our finest shows, actually.
Absolutely.
Fueled by Irish cream. So.
I will. Excellent. Scott Daly, filmfeverradio.com is the website. Thank you, sir. Back after this with Tim Riley. It's all red and moist. At the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. We're back after this. God in heaven.